Let's pray for the Daw family. Mandy's sort of she is our VBS director, and a lot of them are sick. So let's just pray for them this morning and pray that God restores them to health, because we need them. We need them tomorrow. So let's pray for them this morning. Father, thank you for Justin and Mandy and all their kids. And I know they're going through a lot of illnesses this week, and blessings of a large family. And so we just pray for healing for their bodies, and just help them to be restored and be able to help us out with VBS this week. And pray that it's a good week. Pray that the kids, we might see some kids come to know Jesus Christ as Savior this week. So we're praying for that. And just to encourage those who know you, and that we can build relationships in the community with Christians as well as non-Christians, Lord. And to just pray for a great week. And the weather is great as well. Not that I'm asking for everything under the sun, but I might as well. So, Lord, just to pray that it's a very encouraging week, and we all are able to communicate truth in a clear way, whether it's through games or stories, Bible stories or crafts or even food, Lord. The story is repeated over and over again. So the story of Jesus. So pray for that. In his name we pray. Amen. So in this last section here in chapter 7, again, Paul continues to deal with marriage. And the question he's asked here appears to be, now that I'm a Christian, should I marry? Okay, I'm not married. Should I get married? Should I not get married? Right? And Paul's answer really is, you're actually asking the wrong question. It's not whether I should or should not get married. He says there's some other questions you need to think about before you just think that as a yes or no answer, okay? There's some issues you need to give some consideration to. So here in the Corinthian context, these relatively new believers have been asking Paul a bunch of questions. Essentially, now that I'm a Christian, should I this? How should I do that now that I'm a Christian? And like, those are wonderful questions, right? Because the question really says, now that I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, how does my life change? And last week we looked at, again, marriage, but also at work and also at social setting. Okay, I'm a slave. Should I change? I'm a Jew. Should I chuck all my Jewishness, right? What do I do now that I'm a believer, a follower in Jesus Christ? And now he addresses those who primarily have yet to marry. And so they're saying, Paul, should we get married? And here in his answer, he wants them to think about how marriage is going to change your life for Jesus. He says, how is marriage going to help you draw closer to the Lord? So it's not just should I get married or not, but have you thought through the spiritual implications of what it means to live in a culture that is not friendly to people of faith, is not friendly to followers of Jesus? And should you get married in that kind of culture, how's that going to impact your walk with God? And so Paul's answers I've placed in three other questions that they should be asking themselves. And the first one they should ask themselves, according to verses 25 to 28, which Paul basically says is, are you willing to bear the responsibility of raising a Christian family, knowing that they're going to suffer, knowing they're going to have trials in their life? Because if we're honest, most of us would probably say, I can handle the suffering. I don't want to see my family suffer. I don't want to see my family suffer. If you don't want to see that happen, Paul says, don't get married. It's kind of what he's saying here. Because let's face it, how often do we pray for their safety, right? We pray for them to be healthy. We pray for them to be safe. We do that all the time. There's nothing wrong with that. But we also pray for their salvation and spiritual growth. Do you know what? Sometimes those two things collide, right? Which one do you want? Do you want them to live a problem-free, safe-free life? Or do you want them to grow in Jesus? You can't have both. Matter of fact, you'll never have both. Doesn't matter, right? In this life, we will have difficulties. And so we know this if we've been saved for a while, right? Eventually, harms and trials are going to come our way. Now, remember, when Paul's single, right? So he likes people to be single. But practically speaking, life won't last long if that stays the same, right? Okay? So he kind of commends this life, but he talked about that. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. So he says, it's a gift. He says, being single and be satisfying in the Lord alone is a gift, but being married is a gift as well. He said back in chapter 7, or back in verse 7, I wish that all were as I am, but each one has his own gift from the Lord. One has this gift of being married. One has this gift of being single. I mean, Paul commends singleness only if you feel God has led you in that direction and you are content in Jesus alone. And that, like, the whole idea of being content and pleasing the Lord is really the overriding theme in all of this. How are you going to please the Lord if you're single? How are you going to please the Lord if you're married? This is what Paul's really getting at in this whole section here. Now, when he says again, he says, I have no command from the Lord, but I give a judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. What he's really saying again is Jesus never addressed this, all right? So I'm addressing this by the Spirit of God. So it's not like Paul's inferior message, and here's what I think. No, this is led of the Spirit of God. It's just that Jesus had never addressed this. And so he gives some reasons for giving a healthy warning about marriage. And one of them is because of the present crisis. The present crisis in verse 26. Well, what did he mean by that? What do you mean by a present crisis? Well, most scholars are pretty unanimous in that there was nothing going on of severe persecution at the time when Paul was writing. There's always persecution, but the real bad stuff was about 10 years away before Nero came and started burning Christians alive and all that stuff, right? But in the general context, he gives a little different understanding of what it means by the present crisis. Like in verse 29, he says the time is short, and he says the world is passing away. And then he says in verse 28, there are general stresses that marriage brings, you know, but those who marry will face many troubles in this life, and I want to spare you from this. And so they lived and we lived post-resurrection, which means Jesus is coming back someday. So all that is sort of included, I think, in what Paul is saying about this sort of present crisis. I think what he's reminding his listeners and those of us who are reading are the basic things of the Christian life, right? Marriage and kids adds stress levels to your life. The world is not for you. The world is passing away. Jesus is coming back. Every day it's getting closer and closer. Do you understand there's a lot of responsibility in bringing up kids in the world, in that kind of a culture in which we live? Have you thought this through yet? Now that I've all depressed you, all right? The other side of that is, when has the world never been like that? Right? The world is always like that. Okay? So, whew, you're okay. The world is always like that. But do you think about these things, right? Some people overthink them and say, we're not going to have kids, right? Right? Or not even get married. So don't watch the pendulum swings on these kinds of things, right? He's going to address some pendulum swings in just a second here. If you don't think you can handle this, Paul says, then hold off. Maybe you're not mature enough yet. Maybe it's just a matter of time. Pray about it, wait in the Lord, but he also says don't wait too long, because if you feel God is leading you in this way, right, and if you're waiting for yourself to be ready, okay, it's on the job training, right? Okay, how do you learn to parachute, right? Ultimately, you got to jump, right? Ultimately got to jump and figure it out along the way. Pull something. Yeah. But Paul's saying, make sure you understand this. Okay, I don't want you to be blind, but you know, these are the things you got to think about. So he continues on this line, verses 29 to 35, but he also wants to broaden this to help people think about another aspect of marriage in the Christian life. He says, verse 29, he says, "What I mean, brothers, is the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as none, if they had none. Those who mourn as if they did not. Those who are happy as if they are not. Those who buy something as if it were not theirs to keep. Those who use the things of the world as if not engrossed in them, for this world in its present form is passing away." So what does he mean by all that? Again, the question isn't just like, should I get married or not? You know, he said, here's some other questions to think about. Here's another one to think about. He says, will being married help us both live with an undivided loyalty to God? Right? Will our being married help us both live with an undivided devotion or loyalty to the Lord? So when Paul says those who have wives should live as none, and those who mourn as if they didn't, and those who are happy as if they were not, this is what I was getting at with the pendulum swing. Okay? Watch out for the pendulum swings in life, because what he's really saying here is, don't get excited when things are going really well. All right? Don't get all depressed just because a couple of bad things happen in life, right? Jesus is coming. We'll spend all eternity with God. Those are all good things. So he's saying, hang on to the things in this world loosely, because it's so easy to get caught up in the world. Christians shouldn't watch the news and go to bed depressed because the world's a terrible place. All right? God's still on the throne. He told us bad things would happen. The world is full of sinners. Some of them are in the mirrors. You're a little slow on that one, right? And people do terrible things, right? This is life, okay? This happens, it's life. And when life is going well, thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord we found blueberries on Rock Island, right? Or whatever it is, you're praising the Lord for today. Thank the Lord, right? Thank the Lord. But not every day is blueberries and Rock Island day, right? Okay, some days it's difficult, right? But when things are happening, praise the Lord and thank Him for it, absolutely. But what about live as if you're not married? Okay, not a fridge verse, by the way. Okay, we talk about fridge verses. This is not one of them, all right? What it doesn't mean is you get to ignore your spouse and do whatever you want, okay? Remember, we're talking about pendulum swings here, okay? But remember the question, right? Should we get married? Because when we get married, which is a wonderful thing, sometimes we have the tendency to put all our hopes in a person. And Paul's saying, don't go there. That's what he's saying when he says, live as if you're not married. Okay, like, don't put all your hopes in a human being, because they're going to fail you. Husbands have failed wives. Wives, we've all failed each other, right? Okay, none of us are perfect. It's going to happen. So Paul's saying here, like, marry, grow in the Lord together. Don't put your hopes in that person, right? Your hope is in Jesus. Because the reality is, right, one of us will die before the other. Right? One day you're going to be alone. And then who do you trust? You trust this person you lost, who's no longer there, or is your hope in Jesus, who's always there? Right? Hold on to the things of this world loosely, and that includes people too, right? We love them, but they're not Jesus, right? The other way we help each other live with an undivided loyalty to the Lord is focus on how we can please God in whatever the circumstances we're going through in life is. Focusing on the world and the things of the world can be a distraction to following God. So Paul challenges singles. He says, make your focus on pleasing God. right? Make your focus on pleasing God, period. That's your whole focus in life. And if you're going to get married, figure out how you're going to do that together. So find someone who you can share that with. Find someone who has the same passion about Jesus and growing in Jesus as you do. Because that's what Paul's premarital counseling here is, right? Find someone who wants to please God with their life, and now they want to do it with you. And maybe you have to wait for someone. And that's hard. But I think if you have that desire, I think God's gonna answer that prayer. And he's going to direct you to that person one day. God wants us to have an undivided loyalty towards him. We can do that married. We can do that single. But however we're gifted for, right? He reminds us that the challenge of marriage is like it's going to bring more responsibilities in our life, obviously. And we can be distracted by those kinds of circumstances. It happens, okay? Paul says these can restrict you, but they don't have to, okay? He says, live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord, which means husbands and wives will have to take turns looking after the kids, giving the other the opportunity to make sure they're spending time with the Lord, right? Make sure that happens for both of you. Make sure that happens together as a family. Make going to church together as a family a priority, right? Prayer at meals, simple things, but they're consistent things, right? Praying at bedtime, all those things, Bible stories, right? All those things are consistent ways in which we build truth into the lives of people, our families. Involve your kids in all those things. Like, you don't have to be single to have an undivided loyalty to God. Obviously, you can be married and share that with others, with your family. But if you are married, it's going to take a little more work because, right, family makes, it's going to take time. But let's grow. It'll take discipline and perseverance because the things that hinder us, as Hebrews 12 says, and the sin that so easily entangles us will keep us from running the race marked out for us. You see, that's plural as well as single. Because if I have a family, I have an us, right? So there's a race for us as well, okay? So Paul has one more cautionary question that singles should ask themselves before they get married in verses 36 to 40. And that's simply, are you going to commit? Are you going to commit to this marriage for the long haul? If you're thinking about getting married, that's wonderful. Are you in there for the long haul? Now, perhaps a couple of your translations when I was reading this sounded different. Because some translation take verses 36 to 38 saying that talks about the father of the virgin, all right? It's the father of the virgin as if he's going to give her away. I don't think that's, most translations don't go there. And I think there's a lot of problems with that translation. So if you have that, I'll just say that, make that comment. There are more problems understanding as the father and his daughter than the young man with his fiance. Particularly in verse 36. Because if the father is acting improperly toward the virgin, he's, you know, like that's just weird. All right, that's just kind of weird language. I don't think it's appropriate. So I think he's talking about an engaged man with his fiance, and that's the way I'll focus on it. It doesn't change the meaning of the passage, just the wording. Because the main point is the same, get them married because they need to be married. That's what he's talking about here. So the phrase acting improperly or acting dishonorably is not really explained, but I think it would seem apparent that Paul is saying, get married. Get married because your behavior is not proper for unmarried because you have strong passions, so get married. But he says, remember, if you married, verse 39, you're bound to your spouse until death. Because that's always God's plan and desire. Yes, divorce happens. Yes, we know these things. But God's plan, right? God's plan is to get married. So don't get married if you're coming in with an attitude of, well, this is the best I can do so far, right? No, right? It's a commitment to the end. Marriage is for life, Paul's saying. And he states, he says, singleness has some good points. He's not saying it doesn't. But if you marry, verse 39, did you catch that? He says, marry a believer. Marry a believer, one in the Lord, okay? And then you marry for life, verse 38. And marry someone who's going to help you stay focused on pleasing God with your life as a family, verse 35. So Paul answers specific questions in this chapter given about marriage. I mean, he touched on divorce, but not a whole lot, right? But his emphasis throughout was whether you marry or not, devote yourself to the Lord, right? That's his main point. There are people who are gifted to be satisfied in God alone. Wonderful, 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 like himself. But he said those who get married, right, even though you have more responsibilities, it's going to take them a little more work, right? Live to please your spouse and your kids, right? Live to please them. That's how you please the Lord as well. We're all too aware, I'm sure, of the assassination attempt last week on former President Donald Trump. The shooter, whose name interests me not, so I won't even share it, right? He was killed. However, sadly, a bystander in the crowd was killed by a bullet meant for the former president. His name is more interesting. His name was Corey Comparator. He was married. He had two daughters in their 20s. He was an engineer who served as a volunteer firefighter with his local fire department, even serving as a chief for a few years. One of his daughters said at his funeral, "Dad was a man of God who loved Jesus fiercely and also looked after our church and our members as family." And so when he heard the shots, he immediately threw his wife and kids to the ground and shielded them. Like, you don't plan for those things, right? And he gets a bullet in the head that would have killed, probably, or seriously injured one of his family members. See, you don't decide beforehand how you're going to respond in a situation like that. But I think it's fair to say that Corey lived to please God and his family by serving them like Jesus, even to the point of sacrificing his life for them. So for all that Paul has said about marriage in this chapter, he says marriage is meant to be a lifetime commitment of serving the other. See, can I give you the easiest piece of marriage counseling you'll ever hear and will solve all your problems in one easy step? All right, are you listening? Marriage problems happen because you want to be served, not to serve. Amen? Right, isn't that simple? $100, please. Right? Isn't that so true, right? Why do we have fights? Because I want something, right? We are to serve one another. Remember Jesus' disciples in Mark 10? The disciples are arguing about who was more important than the other. Jesus takes them aside, right? He says to them, the world lives like that. He says, the world lives with a serve me basis. Not so with you. Those four words have always stuck in my mind, right? You want to be first? He says, get down on your knees and serve others. Because the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. If you're married and you want to stay married for life, serve the other the way Jesus serves us. Put their needs first. Don't worry about your needs. Your needs will get met. Because if you're both living for each other, you're both going to meet each other's needs. Doesn't that make sense? Okay, another $100, please. No. All right. But see, we confuse needs with wants, don't we? We confuse needs with wants. So let's be careful we don't do that. And when we commit to serving the other one for life, right? And we do it one day at a time because that's all we're asked to do it. I think we'll be less concerned with our needs and surprise ourselves by realizing that in serving others and serving our family, we're pleasing the Lord. And when we please the Lord, we get satisfied. Oh, is that how that works? Yeah, it does, right? It does. That we're content with how God is working in our lives. So let's keep pleasing God this way. And let's understand how we can continue to have an undivided loyalty in serving God together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for Paul's words. Very practical for married or unmarried, Lord, right? Make sure our focus is on pleasing you. Make sure we want to please you with someone together who has the same passion. I pray for couples today. I pray for couples today who are struggling, probably because, you know, there's mixed messages about needs and wants, Father, and maybe there's a little distraction there of not focusing on you. Lord, if we want to please the other, if we want to be satisfied, the path to that is serving you. And the path to serving you is to serve others because they're made in your image. And they're your gifts to us, your grace gifts to us, especially those closest to us. So Father, help us today just to apply Paul's words to our life so that we can please you and continue in this direction of wanting to live lives of undivided loyalty to you. And may we glorify you in all of this. In Jesus' name, amen.